Welcome to the podcast of Fairmount Presbyterian Church in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where we feature our worship sermons. Listen again to past sermons from home, when you are traveling, or wherever you are. Listen in if you need a moment of reflection, inspiration, and love.
Boy, I am looking at walking up these steps up here in a whole different way after Allie's comment. Thank you so much for that. It feels much more exciting. Thank God for all our saints, big and little. And I think we've had our prayer of illumination, too. So thank you, Lindsay, for that special message and prayer. Let's begin with reading Revelation 21. I'm feeling a little loud up here, Jason, but maybe not so much for others. But I don't want to... If I inadvertently raise my voice. Yeah, that's better, more comfortable. Okay, Revelation 21, which is considered apocalyptic literature. It's written by St. John of Patmos. Speaks of transcendence and uses a lot of symbolism, but this is one of my favorite readings in scripture. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's peoples. God will be with them as their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "All is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." The week my family spent in Alaska was in the company of five other travelers previously unknown to us. Two were young women who had never met, but were sharing accommodations, sort of like a double hotel room, except it was a two-person tent. The first few nights, my boys helped set up our little tent city, moving from site to stretch canvas and hammer tent pegs. I find they're always better with a job to do. And when they work together, they are a force to be reckoned with. Even that first night when they were attacked by a swarm of bees and got bee stings all over their faces and still finished setting up the camp in 20 minutes. By the third night, we were all ready to set up our own tents. And we went to bed with the blessed weariness of fresh air and exercise. There's no better sleep than that, except for some people. The next morning, the two young women emerged really early from their tent, having awakened to puddles in the corners and the misery of wet sleeping bags. It turns out, small detail, they had placed the rain guard over their tent upside down. So the waterproof side was underneath, and the rain leaked through, and the protective nature of the tent was destroyed. We went back to the previous system and kept the boys busy a couple nights longer. I think about that story because in 2 Corinthians, the physical body, our physical bodies, are referred to as earthly tents, the earthly tents in which God dwells. And the assurance is given that even when that earthly tent is destroyed, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Tents appear frequently in the Bible, which makes sense, since for much of the history of the ancient Near East, and even today, a sturdy tent was a common dwelling place, a covering, a home. Psalm 19 speaks of God making a tent in the heavens for the sun. With Moses, God's people traveled from place to place with a portable tent called a tabernacle and set it up in each place just as they were told to do, having been guided by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, God's glory going before them and leading them on. Rabbis would later describe this visible manifestation of God on earth as Shekinah, from a word meaning dwelling or tent. The tabernacle also housed the Ark of the Covenant within until much later, when the tent became the temple, a sturdy house built for a God who had always been content to be on the move. The story of tent and tabernacle is what we call an origin story. It's an origin story for Judaism and Christianity, but we have our own origin stories too. We have our narratives that describe where we come from and the journeys our ancestors took to come to the places that we have learned to call home. Those stories focus attention on our foundations, the houses that built us. The counterpoint to origin stories are destination stories. Where are we going? In what direction is life taking us? What is our true destination? And the counterpoint to the beginning of the Bible's origin story in Genesis is the book of Revelation, which helps us understand, with a lot of interpretive help, the ultimate destiny where we are headed. As T.S. Eliot wrote, "In my end is my beginning. I start with God, I end with God, in my end is my beginning." And that's the whole upshot of this beautiful vision of the heavenly Jerusalem, what Augustine called the city of God in Revelation 21. That loud voice announces in verses 3 to 4 that God will actually dwell with humans, literally, that God will tent or tabernacle with humans now and into eternity. And even more, that God will wipe every tear from their eyes and that death will be no more, and that there will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. If this vision is real, and I believe it is, then we view existence from the perspective of eternity. It is like a tent city of saints who have come before us, the saints who are alive today and the saints who will come after us. In our baptism, we are welcomed into the household of God. We've been made citizens of the heavenly city. We belong to the communion of saints past, present, and future. Last week on Reformation Sunday, we talked a lot about doors, the doors in our homes, the doors in our church, and the doors of our hearts. We prayed for open doors and crossing thresholds to spread the light of Christ in the world. That is the work of the Spirit amongst God's people, and we don't get to see it happen all the time. I don't get to see it happen all the time. You don't get to see it happen all the time, but sometimes there are glimpses, like a door open a crack, and you see just a little bit how the Spirit might be at work. Last week began with a visit from a few church members asking about the partnership with the nursery school co-op and how the church could be more of a presence in the lives of the families, an opening of doors. The day continued with a visit from a few more members about ongoing and future building projects on the external and the internal sides of the church and the need to establish funds to provide for those emerging needs, like the sanctuary lighting above us. And then a short time later, short enough to be within the same day, another saint crossed the threshold and wanted to know what project was most needed around the church. And when I told her about lighting the sanctuary after there was this minor incident of sparks in the ceiling, she smiled. And she said, "Every time I look at that beautiful sanctuary ceiling," and I invite you to just look up. I mean, the whole place is designed for your eye to go up, for your eyes to go to God. And she said, "Every time I look at that beautiful sanctuary ceiling. I think about all the saints that have gone before us and how they're looking down on us and saying, "What the heck are you doing now?" I laughed so hard. I said they're probably especially saying that about the person in the pulpit. But that beautiful vision that we're surrounded by saints. You know, earlier Gordon mentioned the shoes he's wearing. I've said this before, I'll say it again. The robe I'm wearing is from Kitty Borchert, from her family, and the vestments. There is something about stepping into literally shoes, clothing yourself with Christ, that is this humbling experience of being in the presence of those who went before you. She literally told me when I was first ordained and nervous about serving communion and preaching, she literally said, "Remember, Jesse, you're not alone. There's a cloud of witnesses around you. All the time, the saints that have gone before you." Well, I shared this good news about, you know, oh, I didn't tell you the end of the story. So the end of the story, after this comment about the saints, this woman, she generously and joyously agreed to fund the entire project of lighting the sanctuary safely so that we can actually turn on the lights. And I was really grateful. And as soon as I conveyed that to the chair of our admin council, her response was almost immediate. This woman of God, she wrote back to me, "All the time, God is good. That is wonderful news." She said, "As I sat in service this Sunday and the sunlight kept brightening the sanctuary, I felt then that a way out of no way was going to happen for us, that a door would be opened and the lighting situation would be resolved. Blessings and honor, glory and power to the Creator." I mean, sometimes I just take a deep breath and think, who are you people? Like, you are amazing. Like, who writes notes back to you like that? And who says these incredible things? You all do. These stories are about you wanting to open your church and open your hearts and open your lives and all the things. The week went on. That night, I led a new members class with two women who walked through our doors, one recently, one quite some time ago, and found home here and want to join us. And we'll introduce them in December. And then I got a card in the mail from a friend with a saying from Tao Te Ching that says, "Without opening your door, you can open your heart to the world." And I was reminded of all the ways the pandemic has forced us to keep our doors closed, yet still you are opening your hearts to the world. If I had the time, I could tell you about more visits and conversations with Fairmounters who are feeling the call to respond to the Spirit, to participate in the divine life of God, who want to challenge themselves to speak and sing and give and show up in ways that make God's glory resound in this sanctuary and reverberate outside of it. On Wednesday, we had a fun filming day with professional photographers who brought in lights and interviewed us about how we welcome people in this place, what we are about, how folks can experience the holy here. God is opening doors for our pastoral nominating committee and for youth ministry and for congregational connection and faith formation and renovation of homes for people without homes. And the more we open our hearts to God's light and God's glory, the Shekinah presence within us, the more we will be open to participation in the divine life and the welcome of God's new heaven and new earth, because God is always doing a new thing. Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber, founding pastor of a church called House for All Sinners and Saints, the most excellent name I've heard, wrote a book called Accidental Saints, and she encouraged us to find God at work even in unlikely people. She wrote, "I have come to realize that all the saints I've known have been accidental ones. People who inadvertently stumbled into redemption like they were looking for something else at the time. Like people who have just a wee bit of a drinking problem and manage to get sober and help others to do the same. People who are as kind as they are hostile sometimes. Accidental saints. That describes maybe all of us in some way or another. And today, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate this Saints' Day, and we remember all those who have gone before us following Jesus despite struggle, persecution, and loss. Some of them stumbled into redemption, rascals and renegades who found their own locked doors unhinged by grace. And some of them practiced a long obedience in the same direction and leave us a lifetime of good works behind, like stepping stones for us to follow, all of them reliant on the Spirit of God, on God's light, on God's glory, whether they knew it or not. As Peter says in Acts 2, when he quotes King David, beautiful statement of faith, he says, I saw God before me for all time. Nothing can shake me. God's right by my side. I'm glad from the inside out, ecstatic. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. As you hear Chris Fader sing The House That Built Me, I want you to think about your own origin stories and about your destination. Remember those who've gone before us and how this house of God has built us. And then pitch your tent with me in the land of hope. With sinners and saints, the crazy group called the household of God, planted in the world for all the saints. Amen.
We thank you for listening to a worship episode from Fairmount Presbyterian Church. Revisit this podcast site weekly for new worship episodes. Have a beautiful and blessed day.